You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller, and today we're joined by a good friend of mine who I think I met when I first got to the Cape, really, or at least shortly after, because I heard about this great prayer movement that was taking place, and that was officially 6 years ago this month. 6 years ago this month that I first came to the Cape and got involved with my good friend, Dr. Mamdou Riad, who has put together an amazing movement that goes beyond the 6 years. We'll find out a little bit more in detail about how long it's been going, but it's a prayer movement called the Glory of God on Cape Cod. It's always a privilege to have him, and it's our first time for having him on the radio. So Mamdou, thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Thank you so much, Adam. Great to be with you today and great to work with you over the last several years.
Yeah. Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about the history of the Glory of God? Because as I mentioned, this is something that I've been a part of for the last 6 years, but it goes beyond that by several years. So tell us a little bit about the history and what you've started here.
Sure. 13 years ago, the Lord stirred a number of pastors and leaders on the Cape from various denominations with our need for revival. And this is really what started this whole movement, is we recognized that we need a revival and that we live beneath our spiritual inheritance.
This is one of those areas where the evidence is right there on the wall.
That's right.
I mean, 1.5% evangelical in our community. Why does it take us this long to get to the precipice of realizing that we need something like a revival?
I think there's always been the recognition. I think most or all pastors and leaders saw or see that need. But at times, as you well know, at times God stirs his people for a specific purpose and breathes on them this particular conviction. And I think this is what happened 13 years ago, where God simultaneously gripped us all with a conviction that he wants to do something on the Cape. And as you well know, from understanding God's ways with men in the scriptures, God often stirs his people to work when he wants to give birth to something.
Yeah. What's the kind of foundation, though, of these kind of groups? I mean, it's enough to talk about prayer and to kind of have people that are passionate about it, but how has it actually worked out? What are the things that the Glory of God is doing to kind of bring together that movement of pastors and network?
So basically, a few of us early on, 13 years ago, began to share one-on-one with other colleagues, other pastors, other leaders in ministry about what God put in our hearts, and it resonated with them. So we thought, hey, let's get together to pray and seek the Lord and seek where he would lead us and pray for the spiritual awakening, the revival that we would all love to see. And basically, this is how it started. We had no blueprint or no agenda that this is where we want to be in year one, two, three, whatever. We just simply recognize a need, and we valued being led by the Holy Spirit. So we gathered to pray once every 2 weeks in a living room and just say, Lord, we need you. We want you to move. We recognize that you are the one who stirred us. So here we are standing before you in response to your stirring.
Prayer is a huge part of our ministry here at Songtime as well, and it's always been an integral part of my ministry, even before I came to Songtime.
I remember. Yeah.
But I think that prayer is one of those things that we often neglect, and it's something that we want to be able to do something big and major and hold a rally, hold an event. For 13 years of praying, and I've been a part of these movements, I've been a part of these prayer groups, there is such a real power that's taking place. Mm-hmm. I think it's really giving people a realization of how important prayer is as well.
Yes. Yeah, prayer is labor and it's hard work. And it's easier to do things other than prayer. But as you well know, and you and I talked about that privately before, is that it is the undergird that makes us fruitful. God gives birth to his purposes with prayer, through prayer. And without prayer, we cannot abide in him and we cannot produce the fruit that he called us to produce.
This is one of those areas that I'm so thankful for, in particular because of the necessity we have in our culture today to think of the needs that are in our community.
Yes.
One of the areas that is very evident is the lack of the glory of God. We see it, and we don't want to diminish God in any way because we see it in the creation, but we're not seeing God's movement take place in the communities where it's becoming more and more secular. Can you talk to us about some of the reasons why this is so important for us to get to our knees and pray?
This is actually, Adam, this is the crux of the movement. The name of the movement is The Glory of God on Cape Cod. And one definition of the glory of God in the scripture is His manifest presence, where He causes us, where He manifests His presence and causes us to be acutely aware of His presence. And in the scriptures, when the glory of God was upon His people, when He manifested His presence among His people, even unbelievers recognized that He is in their midst. And like, for example, Rahab, when she told Joshua, "We have heard of your God." And King Nebuchadnezzar, when he told Daniel, "Truly your God is the God of gods," and so forth. And in contrast, when the glory of God lifted off Israel and they went into the Babylonian captivity, the people around them, instead of recognizing that God is in the middle of His people, they mocked them and taunted them, and they said, "Where is your God?" And this is why we see the cry of revival in the scriptures throughout the Psalms and the prophets has this phrase peppered throughout, which says, "Why should the people say, where is your God?" So in our quest for revival, one of the things that captured our attention is that we feel that in our time, the world around us, as if it's saying to us, "Where is your God?" Instead of saying, "Truly, God is in your midst as God has called us to be."
I think this is a critical point, and we often overlook it. And this is why prayer is so important.
That's right.
I think it's very easy for us to even get off course ourselves in the ministries that we're doing. And we do the preaching, we do the worship, we do all of these different components to our service. And yet, I think it's very easy if we're not taking time to pray, it's very easy for us to get off track and not see where God is moving us, where God is directing us
right,
as individuals. And if we're not seeing that, the world's certainly not going to be able to see
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, absolutely,
yeah. That's been our theme verse for this year, and piggybacking on what you just said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works."
Exactly.
"And give glory to our Father in heaven." That's our theme, that our worship and prayers being a part of this theme is what draws people's attention to see in our midst that something is taking place within us, but also in this cacophony of all these different people that doesn't make sense why it would come together, and yet it's a picture. We call it the body of Christ. The church is a picture of Christ's work here on earth, and it
yes,
should have that kind of representation and respect that Jesus garnished in the gospel.
Absolutely, and this very verse that is your theme for this year, we have used this verse from the very beginning in our articulation of our vision, this very verse from Matthew. That's very interesting.
Yeah, so what we're praying for is that we as Christians would see it, but also that God would make Himself aware and present, that He would be pleased by our worship. Tell us a little bit about some of the specific things that we're praying for when we gather.
So when we gather, we pray for that. So we gather to prepare ourselves for God to rest in us. As you well know, the scripture talks about that God can either strive with the human spirit individually or corporately, strive with people when we have areas of disobedience, of areas of sin in our lives, then God's Spirit strives with us to try to bring us to repentance, or talks about God's Spirit resting among us, both individually and corporately. And it's very interesting that God speaks Himself about seeking to rest in His people. And it says in the scriptures, "Where is the place of my rest? Where is the place you would build for me?" And we in the New Testament are the temple of the living God. You and I are living stones, and together with the rest of the body of Christ, we form the spiritual temple where God's Spirit dwells. as he dwelled in the, or as he expressed himself, manifest himself in the Old Testament in the physical temple. So one of the things we are doing when we're coming together is we are preparing ourselves in unity for God to manifest himself among us, manifest his presence among us. And we pray for, number one, awakening of the pastors and leaders, awakening of the remnant, people in the pews on Sunday morning, for all of us as the body to be awakened with zeal for God, with zeal for his glory, with zeal for the souls that do not know him around us. So we pray for revival in the church, and also for God to pour out his Spirit and bring unbelievers, multitude of unbelievers that do not yet know him, to his kingdom.
People are really starting to see the lack of the glory of God in our community, especially without with so many of the places throughout New England being under 3%. 49 counties are under 3% evangelical, and right, yes, here on the Cape, it's the worst of all of those counties.
Yes.
People can see that, and they want to know, what can we do? Oftentimes, they want to be plugged into something of work relation or a class or of some sort of ministry like that. What would your advice be to them to think of prayer as the primary means of how they can get engaged in addressing the problems of our world?
I think both from the scriptures, as you well know, Adam, and from history, whether it's the first Great Awakening or the second Great Awakening or the Welsh Revival, or I have friends who are from Uganda who were involved in the recent revival that took place in Uganda. Always prayer, united prayer, and repentance always are the culprits, the early steps that God uses to bring birth of revival in a community. You know, and this is basically scriptures from, if my people who are called by my name, my people meaning the believers, not the unbelievers, if my people who are called by my name, you know, repent and come together and pray and so forth. And this is always has a consistent theme throughout the scripture, that the very first step is repentance and the coming together of God's people to pray and stand in the gap on behalf of their community.
The Bible, particularly the Old Testament, when you start to see a lot of these narratives where you have the people in exile, the people being under God's judgment, you can see a lot of parallels between what is the devastation that's taking place there in the Old Testament with what we're seeing here.
Absolutely.
What's often called by pastors and scholars to be the post-Christian era.
Yes.
And right here in New England, it's kind of setting the temperature to what we're probably likely to see throughout all of the United States in the days ahead, unless God's people come to their knees.
Absolutely.
This is something in the Old Testament you've seen individuals like Daniel praying on their knees in the midst of a whole generation that have not yet fallen to their knees. It seems such a small task, but yet it's such a valuable task. Can you give us a little bit of an insight as to why this aspect of revival is so important, this aspect of praying is so crucial?
Oh, this is very interesting because, you know, as you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul cites some of God's dealing with Israel, and then he says, and all these things were written for our admonition, meaning God's dealings with Israel in the Old Testament serve as lessons for us in the New Testament. So as you're saying, these parallels are very, very valid. In fact, Martin Luther, as well as A.W. Tozer and others, used the phrase spiritual Babylonian captivity to describe the condition of the church when it is in need of revival. So I totally agree with what you're saying. And actually, when you think about Daniel in captivity, the first thing he did in Ezekiel was prayer in Daniel 9, a prayer of repentance and a prayer of intercession on behalf of his people. And we recently had this special meeting with Dr. Paul Jaley, as you well know, and the topic was intercession in exile, in spiritual exile. So this was very appropriate because we are similar to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon as the remnant of God's people, and we need to take a position of Daniel and pray on behalf of our community.
This is one of those areas of prayer that it can be very intimidating for a lot of people, especially if we're gathering for a prayer meeting. And many people, prayer meeting is dying in their local churches. They don't have an opportunity to gather with their local church. What is taking place with the glory of God on Cape Cod that they can be involved in? How can they be a part of it? How can they find out more information and be engaged in what you're doing? Understanding that many of them may even have a little bit of a tendency to be afraid of public prayer.
Oh, of course. We have a monthly multi-church prayer meeting that takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month, and it goes from church to church. And all the information is on our website, thegloryofgodoncapecod.com, and also we have a Facebook page by the same name. But we actually, because we are a family of different expressions and denominations, we have come to a very comfortable place of accepting one another's expression of prayer, accepting one another's style, and there is we have come to a place in which people have become very comfortable praying and they're not intimidated and so forth. We've been doing this for 13 years, and early on it took us a while to learn about one another and so forth. But now we are in a very comfortable place in which people who come actually enjoy and very much look forward to the following meeting.
Tell us a little bit about the demographic of the churches that are involved in this, because it's pretty wide. I mean, you have people from Presbyterian backgrounds all the way to Assembly of God and everyone in between.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about the kind of people that are gathering together to pray together.
It's very exciting, actually, and I believe it's pleasing to the Father, actually, Adam, that we have, as you said, we have Baptist churches, we have Pentecostal churches, we have Reformed churches, we have Christian Mission Alliance, we have non-denominational churches, we have charismatic and non-charismatic, and we focus on what unites us, not what divides us. And we actually put together a statement of unity that to reflect that we have chosen to receive one another, to accept and celebrate one another's means of expression and theological views on secondary theological issues, and give each other grace. And we focus on what unites us, which is the basic of the gospel, the divinity of Christ, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and so forth. And obviously, our need, our common need and agreement that we need a revival on Cape Cod, and we need to see the name of Jesus glorified on the Cape.
This is great, and I really wish we could export what we're doing here on the Cape to the rest of New England. And there's a lot of our listeners are off Cape as well, so they're probably thinking, that's all well and good, but I can't be a part of that on a daily basis. What can you say to them? I mean, this started off pretty small 13 years ago, so what can you say to them if they wanted to do something similar? Daniel prayed alone in his room, right?
Yes.
So what can they do to be a part of seeing this happening in their own area as well?
Well, you know, it's funny you asked. I just returned from a conference at D.L. Moody's place called Restore and Revive. And in that conference, there were leaders from the six states of New England, and they gave a report. Some leaders from all the six states of New England gave a report on what God is doing in their midst. And it was so encouraging that God is doing the very same thing He's doing on the Cape here in all six states in New England. God is gathering pastors and leaders in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, Rhode Island, elsewhere in Massachusetts, with the exact same thing. He's getting pastors and leaders and stirring them to pray. So it's very, very, very encouraging. I would recommend that find out if God is already gathering people where you are off Cape, and if so, go and explore that. And if not, by all means, go and speak to your pastor, speak to a couple of people, and share with them your heart, and may God breathe on them, and you can all get together to pray as God is doing elsewhere.
One of my favorite things about the ministry is the Wednesday afternoons, the Wednesday mornings when we gather together in your house to pray, and the multitude of pastors that are gathering there. My heart is always just so uplifted to hear other fellow leaders praying for the work of the Spirit to take root in our hearts and our lives. Tell us a little bit about the very beginnings of this ministry, and tell us a little bit about those early days of what was taking place as you were gathering with pastors to pray.
In the very beginning, there were actually five of us. Basically, the Lord put on my heart this vision that we are in a spiritual Babylonian captivity, and we need to pray because we lack the glory of God in our midst. So I went and spoke with one pastor who was a friend of mine, and then he took me to have lunch with another pastor, and like three of us gathered to simply pray and say, hey, Lord, we need you to move on the Cape. And then we gathered two more people, and little by little, as we shared the vision with other pastors, the Holy Spirit bore witness to them, and they said to us, this resonates with us. Yes, let us gather to pray. And we did not expect to have these multi-church meetings, 13 years later and so forth. We simply had a hunger and zeal for God to move in our midst because of our recognition of our spiritual poverty. And the Lord began to convict people, and we all began to get together to pray. And these were for the first 5 years, it was only a pastors and leaders meeting. And then 8 years ago, the Lord began to say, take those meetings from your living room and take them to the churches so that the people themselves, the remnant, can come and join this cry. And we have a cry arising from the Cape, from God's remnant, to God. God, rend the heavens and come down. Make your name known on Cape Cod.
John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, actually the phrase he used to, by the Spirit of God, that really convicted my heart and said, this is where I needed to be. I needed to move to Cape Cod. I need to be a part of this ministry. He asked me, what in your life is only explainable by God? So having been a part of what you've been doing here with the glory of God on Cape Cod and the ministry now having spanned these 13 years, can you give us a little bit of a taste in seeing what God has done throughout those years to see this ministry grow and flourish to bring so many people? So basically, I'm asking that question. What of this ministry have you seen that is only explainable by God?
I think the fact that we have such a diverse group of people getting together, from charismatic and non-charismatic, Baptist and Pentecostal and all in between, that in and of itself, I think it indicates that God is on the move. Because normally we tend to segregate ourselves and tend to huddle around people that agree with us and see things the way we see them, because it's much easier that way. So the fact that we are willing to be a bit uncomfortable, perhaps, or a bit stretch our comfort zones to get together with other people for the sake of God's glory, I think that in and of itself is very significant to me. And I think you and I talked about that before. And the other thing is that it is very encouraging to see people coming out to pray once a month. It is wonderful to see people who could be spending their time doing something else. They're tired. It's on a Wednesday. It's a work day. But the people have a heart to see God move. And one of the verses that are very dear to me is in Haggai, when it says that God stirred the spirit of Joshua the priest, Zerubbabel, and stirred the spirit of the remnant of the people. And I think this is what we are seeing, that God is stirring the spirit of the remnant of his people to come out and have zeal for his glory and come out and pray.
I would say that that is one of those areas that we've been talking about. That's an area of the glory of God, or the manifest presence, where God brings together that unified vision, that unified conviction, and the fervency of seeing God in their midst and seeing God working. And it happens that happens. We see that most clearly when we gather to pray.
Yes, amen. Yes, it's very encouraging.
We've been talking with Mamdou Riad. He is really a part of this great movement as one of the founders of the Glory of God on Cape Cod. And if you want to be a part of it, I highly recommend it to get involved in joining us. I'll be there to pray together for the glory of God, for His manifest presence, for us to see His hand working. This is something I pray every morning, that we will see His hand working, because we want to walk step in step in line with God, in line with Christ, to see His kingdom come here on earth. So Mamdou, thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Thank you so much, Adam. Great to be with you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.